Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local news roundup. Man and woman charged with assaulting police officer. A 36-year-old man and a 24-year-old woman were arrested after they reportedly assaulted an Odessa Police Department officer while at a bar in central Odessa. Justin Germain Gomez, 36, and Caitlin Kathleen McDonald, 24, were charged with assaulting a public servant, a third-degree felony, and public intoxication, a Class C misdemeanor. Gomez was also charged with resisting arrest, a Class A misdemeanor, while McDonald was charged with interfering with public duties, a Class B misdemeanor. The reported incident happened at 12:55 a.m. November 29th at the Black Gold Bar, located at 4555 East University Boulevard. OPD Officer Corporal Sean Alofchian reportedly attempted to escort Gomez out of the bar as he was trying to fight another person inside. McDonald attempted to stop Corporal Alofchian from taking Gomez outside. Corporal Alofchian stated that he moved McDonald out of the way, and McDonald struck him in the back of the head. As Corporal Alofchian went to restrain McDonald for striking him, Gomez attacked Corporal Alofchian from behind by pushing him. Gomez reportedly struck Corporal Alofchian and grabbed a chair to place in between him and Corporal Alofchian. Corporal Alofchian was advised that Gomez and McDonald had been consuming several alcoholic beverages throughout the night. Gomez and McDonald had a strong odor of alcohol coming from their person and were found in a well-traveled parking lot. Gomez and McDonald were arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. Gomez had three bonds totaling $16,812 and posted bail on November 29th. McDonald had three bonds totaling $15,812 and posted bail on November 29th. Three teenagers were arrested after they reportedly stole a 30-pack of beer from a gas station, held the clerk at gunpoint, and demanded money from the cash register. Gabriel Breeding, 19, Cameron Harrell, 17, and Isaiah Borrego, 17, were each charged with aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon, a first-degree felony, and engaging in organized criminal activity, robbery, a first-degree felony. Borrego was also charged with possession of a controlled substance, a state jail felony, while Breeding was also charged with evading arrest or detention, a Class A misdemeanor. The reported robbery happened at 4:09 p.m. November 29th, at the DK located at 1000 North Dixie Boulevard. The clerk, who was identified as Daisy Stewart, reportedly told police that a subject known to her, Breeding, was wearing a red sweater, black pants, and hoodie over his head, walked into the store and displayed a handgun, and demanded all the money inside the register. Stewart stated while Breeding was at the register, another known subject walked out of the store with a 30-pack of beer. Stewart continued to detail that the person that took the beer was wearing a maroon hoodie and had the hood over his head, and she recognized the person as Borrego. Police reportedly looked at the video footage and saw three people walking west on 10th Street toward the store. The first person, who was later identified as Harrell, entered the store and he was wearing a black hoodie, black pants, and white shoes. Breeding and Borrego remained outside south of the store. Harrell left the store and waited for Breeding and Borrego east from the store. Borrego entered the store and grabbed a 30-pack of beer and waited for Breeding to enter. Breeding entered the store and contacted Stewart at the cash register, and then Borrego ran out of the store with the beer. Breeding was seen on the camera holding a gun and demanding money from Stewart. Breeding, Borrego, and Harrell were reportedly seen fleeing the area and running east on East 10th Street. Later on November 29th, Breeding, Borrego, and Harrell were detained by the Ector County Sheriff's Office for an investigation of a robbery at a convenience store in their jurisdiction. Breeding, Borrego, and Harrell were each arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. Breeding has three bonds totaling $101,000. Borrego has three bonds totaling $105,000, and Harrell has two bonds totaling $100,000. Breeding, Borrego, and Harrell remained in custody as of Wednesday afternoon. Odessa Pharmacy Town and Country Drug, Inc. and its owner, pharmacist Gary Warren, have reportedly entered into a civil settlement with the United States that requires them to pay $320,000 in civil penalties to resolve allegations that they violated certain provisions of the Controlled Substances Act and the Combat Methamphetamine Epidemic Act of 2005. The civil settlement was announced via press release by U.S. Attorney Greg N. Sofer and Drug Enforcement Administration Special Agent in Charge, Kyle Williamson of the El Paso Division. During a routine inspection of Town and Country in May 2017, DEA diversion investigators reportedly identified significant discrepancies in the pharmacy's inventory of controlled substances. DEA investigators noted that Town and Country was in violation of numerous regulatory record-keeping provisions and had sold pseudoephedrine and ephedrine products without self-certifying as required by the Combat Methamphetamine Epidemic Act of 2005. In a follow-up inspection in February 2020, DEA diversion investigators identified additional discrepancies in the pharmacy's inventory of controlled substances, determining that Town and Country continued to both violate CSA record-keeping requirements and sell pseudoephedrine and ephedrine products without self-certifying. These requirements are intended to prevent the diversion of controlled substances for illegal purposes. The CMEA was reportedly signed into law on March 9, 2006, to regulate over-the-counter sales of ephedrine, pseudoephedrine, and phenylpropanolamine products, common ingredients in cough, cold, and allergy products. Retail provisions of the CMEA reportedly include daily sales limits and 30-day purchase limits, placement of product out of direct customer access, sales logbooks, customer ID verification, employee training and self-certification of regulated sellers. Town and Country has informed the government that it is enhancing its record-keeping and compliance program in response to the deficiencies identified by the DEA and that it will maintain a current certification under the CMEA. The DEA's Diversion Control Unit in El Paso led the investigation of this matter. Assistant U.S. Attorney Thomas Parnum negotiated the settlement on behalf of the government. The claims resolved by the settlement are allegations only, and there has been no determination of liability. Opinion from the OA for Thursday, December 3rd. We must work together to protect our community. Signed by Renee Pearls, President CEO, Odessa Chamber of Commerce. Dr. Ben Quiros, Odessa Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Chris Walker, President CEO, Black Chamber of Commerce of the Permian Basin. Russell Tippin, CEO, Medical Center Hospital. Stacy Brown, CEO, Odessa Regional Medical Center. Dr. Scott Murray, Superintendent, ECISD. Dr. Greg Williams, President, Odessa College. Dr. Sandra Woodley, President, UT Permian Basin. David Turner, Mayor, City of Odessa. Debbie Hayes, County Judge, Ector County. Odessa is at a critical juncture, and what we do today affects what happens to our community and to our economy. Both Medical Center Hospital and Odessa Regional Medical Center are at full capacity, and the number of COVID-19 patients are increasing. As of December 1st, 127 COVID-19 patients are hospitalized in Odessa. These numbers continue to rise, which unfortunately means we could suffer more deaths of our friends, family, employees, and neighbors. Our healthcare facilities are stretched to the max, with depleting supplies and critically low staffing numbers. Our healthcare workers are exhausted, yet they continue to work long hours to provide care for all patients. For the past 2 weeks, the number of COVID-19 hospitalized patients as a percentage of total hospital capacity has exceeded 15%. Governor Greg Abbott's Executive Order 32 has required all Odessa and Ector County businesses to decrease capacity to 50% occupancy. It will remain that way until the number of COVID-19 hospitalized patients as a percentage of total hospital capacity is less than 15% for at least 7 consecutive days. It is imperative that our community work together to slow the spread, lower the hospital rate, and decrease the number of COVID-19 cases. The Odessa Chamber of Commerce, the Odessa Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and the Black Chamber of Commerce of the Permian Basin are imploring local businesses to promote and enforce the governor's July executive order, requiring all Texans to wear a face covering over the nose and mouth in public spaces in counties with 20 or more positive COVID-19 cases. With the holidays upon us, our chambers want to keep Odessa open for business. It is important that we support our local businesses and restaurants as they continue to battle this pandemic and economic downturn. We are asking everyone to take extra steps to ensure our economy stays open. Everyone, adhere to the mask mandate. Wear a mask over your nose and mouth when inside and outdoors when you cannot maintain 6 feet of social distance. Businesses, promote and enforce the mask mandate. Require that all employees and all patrons wear masks. Limit activities to groups of no more than 10 people. Wear masks and social distance. You have an important role to play. Be socially accountable and personally responsible. What we do today and how we respond affects our community 2 weeks from now. Let's partner together to make this holiday season the best it can be, despite this pandemic. Our actions can help us get to 2021 safely. The hospitals and healthcare workers are not the front line. You are. Wear a mask, maintain social distancing, and keep our economy open. It's a small price to pay until the vaccine is available. Hashtag mask up. Hashtag keep Odessa open.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, December 3rd, 2020. Obituaries. Jennifer Jean Bly Askew. Cedar Park. Jennifer Jean Bly Askew, 74, of Odessa, passed away November 19th, 2020. Jennifer was born in Brownwood, Texas, to William Bill E. Bly and Anita Drury on December 9, 1945. She attended Tarleton State University, where she met her husband, Larry Askew. They married on September 4, 1966. She and Larry moved to and lived on a farm in Greenville, Texas. Jennifer graduated from East Texas State University with a degree in home economics. In 1977, Larry and Jennifer moved to Odessa, Texas. Jennifer later earned her teacher certification and taught in ECISD at Burleson and then Ireland Elementary until she retired in May of 2006. Upon retirement, Jennifer enjoyed gardening, crafting, playing bunco, and mostly spending time with her 7 grandchildren. She and Larry were active members of Grace Christian Fellowship. Jennifer is preceded in death by her husband, Larry Askew, father, William E. Bly, mother and stepfather, Anita and Bob Forbes, as well as numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins. Jennifer is survived by daughter Laura Conrad and husband Jim, daughter Leanne Lopez and husband Luis, brother Billy Bly and wife Karen, sister Marilyn Jones and husband Tim, brother Scott Forbes and wife Kara, sister-in-law Sandra LaBaum and husband Ronnie, grandchildren Sam Conrad Turner, Connor Conrad, Shepherd Conrad, Barla Lopez, Libby Lopez, Leah Lopez and Luis Alec Lopez, and many nieces, nephews, and cousins. A family-only memorial service will be held Saturday, December 5th, 2020, at 2 p.m. at Grace Christian Fellowship in Odessa, Texas. A live stream of the service will be available via Facebook. In lieu of flowers, please consider donations to the Grace Christian Fellowship Building Fund at www.graceodessa.com. James Lee Trulock, Odessa. So you know the rest of the story. James Lee Trulock was born February 25, 1956, in Paducah, Texas, to James and Maurice Trulock, and finished his story on Friday, November 27, 2020. James Lee was loved by all who knew him. You could always count on him for a great joke, orders on how to do something, or the best place to eat, anywhere you go. James loved his food. He met and married the love of his life, LaDonna Potts, on November 20th, 1976. James Lee made his life pipelining, and LaDonna was always by his side. The Lord decided James was going to pay for his raising and blessed James and LaDonna with their first daughter, Jennifer, his sidekick, and then came along his baby girl, Amy. James was a master at all things. He was a pipeliner, mechanic, pecan farmer, junker, and his brother and many others, race car mechanic. There probably was not a weekend as the girls were growing up you didn't catch the Trulock gang at the racetrack. The highlight of James Lee's life was when he became a Gramps. He lovingly nicknamed his granddaughter Paige Avery the Boss, and Gramps and Nana took her on many adventures. And he learned early on you should never let Gramps and the Boss go shopping on their own. Then came along the grandson he had wished for, Rennie Colt, but as Gramps called him, the Sheriff. The Sheriff could always seem to talk Gramps into something. James Lee had a heart of gold and would give you the shirt off his back. He left a lasting impression on everyone he came across. He was met in heaven by his parents, James and Maurice, nephew Ron Trulock, and so many other family and friends who were eager to see him. Those left to cherish his lasting memories are his wife of 44 years, LaDonna Trulock, daughter Jennifer Stout and husband Chris of Odessa, and daughter Amy Floyd and husband Robert of Lubbock. His four grandkids, Paige Floyd, Ross Handy, and Brendan Floyd. Brothers Robbie Trulock and wife Jana of Eastland, and Jim Bob Trulock and wife Mitzi of Robert Lee. Son of the Heart, W. Robbie Trulock and wife Margie. Sister of the Heart, Debbie Ward and husband Norman. Brother-in-laws, Bobby Simmons and wife Joyce, Johnny Simmons. Sister-in-law, Martha Haygood and husband David. As well as many nieces, nephews, cousins, family, and lifelong friends. As Paul Harvey, quote, J.R., end quote, would say, now you know, quote, the rest of the story, end quote. A visitation will be held Thursday, December 3rd, 2020, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Greenfield Acres Baptist Church in Odessa, Texas. A celebration of life will be held Friday, December 4th, 2020, at 2 p.m. at Greenfield Acres Baptist Church. Red Side service to follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa, Texas, with Jimmy Scouten's officiating. Carolyn Sue McLarnon Kirby, Odessa. Carolyn Sue Kirby, age 85, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on December 1st, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Funeral services will be held at 12 p.m. Friday, December 4th, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home, with Tanner Hatz officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Carolyn Sue Kirby was born in Mount Vernon, Ohio, to George and Eleanor McLarnon on February 9, 1935. She married Gene Kirby on June 11, 1953, in Dallas, Texas. Carolyn Sue attended North Texas State University prior to her marriage to the love of her life, Gene. She became a homemaker. Carolyn loved to play bridge, enjoyed shopping with her daughters and granddaughters, and loved dessert. Carolyn is preceded in death by parents, George and Eleanor McLarnon, son-in-law Richard L. Seaburger, and grandson, Clinton C. Barker. Carolyn is survived by her husband, Gene Kirby of Odessa, Texas, daughter Cheryl C. Barker Cavani of Duncan, Oklahoma, daughter Karen and husband Roger Bell of Odessa, Texas, sister Linda Short of Mesa, Arizona, grandchildren Richard J. and Jennifer C. Barker of Duncan, Oklahoma, Ashley and Ryan Bullard of Midland, Texas, Kendra and Tanner House of Odessa, Texas, Andrew and Janelle Bell of Odessa, Texas, 14 great-grandchildren, 4 nephews, and 1 niece. Pallbearers will be Roger Bell, Andrew Bell, Ryan Bullard, Dawson Bullard, Parker Bullard, and Richard J. Seaburger, Bigley Seaburger. Memorials may be given to Westminster Presbyterian Church of Odessa, Texas, and Redeemer Church of Odessa, Texas. The family of Carolyn Kirby wishes to extend our sincere thanks to her wonderful caregivers, Darlene Culp, Dana Cheek, Carolyn Lambert, Edith Arriaga, Miriam Hernandez, Nancy Phillips, Maria Reyes, Chris Hager, and Rhonda Fitz-Lester. We're forever grateful for you all. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death notices. Francisco Panchito Tenorio, Midland. Francisco Panchito Tenorio, 56, of Odessa, died Sunday, November 22nd, 2020, in Midland. Funeral services scheduled for 10 a.m. December 4th, 2020, at Victory Life Church, 325 North County Road West. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Albert Flores is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Marthana Hamblin Sewell, Odessa. Marthana Hamblin Sewell, 82, of Odessa, died Tuesday, November 24th, 2020, in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 3 p.m., December 11th, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Don Weeks is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Lucita Madronero Etheridge, Odessa. Lucita Madronero Etheridge, 78, of Odessa, died Wednesday, November 18th, 2020, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m., December 14th, 2020, at St. Mary's Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Jesus Jose Dominguez, Odessa. Jesus Jose Dominguez, 93, of Odessa, died Saturday, November 21st, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by La Paz Purchase Funeral Homes of Odessa. Damian Ray Gomez, Odessa. Damian Ray Gomez, 44, died Thursday, November 26th, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Delia Lujan Andrews. Delia Lujan, 79, died Sunday, November 29, 2020, in Houston. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Nancy Ruth Toms Scott, Midland. Nancy Ruth Toms Scott, 77, of Midland, died Friday, November 27th, 2020, in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. James Hinesley, Odessa. James Hinesley, H-I-N-E-S-L-Y, 77, of Odessa, died Monday, November 30th, 2020. A memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m. Friday, December 4th at Emmanuel Baptist Church.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, November 29, 2020. Viewpoints. Stuart Doreen. SDoreen@HurstMP.com. Stop asking the mayor, city, for COVID-19 solution. We can stop asking city leaders to come up with a COVID-19 solution. It's not happening. The discussion that the mayor hoped to have was months too late without any real results other than to move some of its federal CARES funding over to the hospital. It's better than nothing. The lack of action by the Midland City Council is frustrating, although not unexpected. Members had an opportunity to discuss what's best for Midland and whiffed. Instead, Midlanders were given another lecture about why the city's leadership is doing it right, the state's leaders are doing it wrong, and the community just doesn't realize how difficult it is to enforce regulations. In some ways, city leaders are correct. They should know all about ordinances they don't care to enforce. A few years ago, city leaders decided to pass an ordinance that was supposed to prevent people from parking vehicles on their front lawns. It was needed, we were told, to protect property values. As it turned out, it was as symbolic as a mask ordinance they voted down multiple times. Was there something that they could have done? Sure. Tell convention centers, athletic venues, and clubs across town that large gatherings will be put on hold for a while. Tell people when they are in city-run facilities, City Hall, Midland Police Department, Bush Convention Center, Scarborough Sports Complex, that masks are required, and then enforce your own building. Judging by the pictures of the council meeting, that didn't happen. County leaders could have done the same. Instead, county commissioners last week approved a Midland County Sheriff's Office Christmas party for the Horseshoe in December. Friends had told me the circus that had become the city council meetings wasn't meant to do anything than allow the mayor to show there wasn't the political will inside the city to do anything. At first, I questioned this line of thinking. Why would anyone at this time put a community through such a show? However, they were right. One point moving forward is the fight against COVID will not be, and should not be, led by city or county government. It will remain up to the hospital and those willing to put their reputations and their resources behind the first responders and medical staff that make up Midland's front line. As we have been told many times, here is what we need to do to minimize the spread of COVID-19. Wear masks. Wash hands. Stay 6 feet apart. Avoid large gatherings. I can do that to protect myself, my family, and my fellow Midlanders. Can you? Forget the forced politicization of the issue and stop the discussion of mandates, fines, rules, regulations, or enforcement. As a friend recently told me, we neither need the strategic swerves to disingenuously force conversation late in the game, nor do we need to provide a spotlight for those hungry for the attention. We also don't need to distract from the real leaders during the pandemic, Midland Health's Russell Myers and Dr. Larry Wilson. At this point, if someone wants to contribute to the conversation, we need them to repeat those best practices and do so with the sense of urgency that the pandemic requires. Recently, we were asked, what can the Reporter Telegram do to help demonstrate the crisis that is in front of the community? Well, beginning Monday, we will use space at the top of 1A every day to show the numbers that tell the tale of the impact on the community. It might be in the form of the number or percentage of beds being occupied by those with COVID in Midland or across the region. It might have to do with the number of COVID-19-related deaths or the percentage of those testing positive. We will take our premium space and dedicate to a hospital in need of a community support. It is the least we could do. District 1. We can no longer watch adults fail our students. Michael Booker, District 1 candidate. First, I want to thank and give all honors to God for giving me this opportunity to put my name out there and to be a part of this experience in running for the school board. I have said it from the beginning of my campaign. I do not have to and will not belittle my opponents to make myself go further in this election. I think when we are standing up for kids, we must be the example, and I will not teach my sons to be a bully with my actions. That is not what I want to teach my boys about making our community a better place. I have to say that I have the utmost respect for everything Mr. Fuller has done for our community. I think he has helped make our community more inclusive in his 30-plus years of service, and I, for one, will always be grateful for that. I also have the utmost respect for Mr. Galindo for being an involved parent and for wanting to make a difference in our community. I refuse to participate in belittling my opponents in hopes of furthering my cause. I can just no longer sit by and watch the adults fail our students. We have 9 failing campuses, and some of these campuses have been failing for a long time. I can no longer sit by and watch the communication between our board and our community decline. Our board voted to purchase Ranchland Golf Course without listening to how our community felt about it. They voted to canvass a bond when they knew there were 740 votes missing. It was not their responsibility to find the votes themselves, but it was well within their moral obligation to wait and see if the votes could be found. It's time that our district be held accountable for the choices they have made that are resulting in failing our kids. I have 4 amazing boys that I love and care for tremendously. I cannot be the example that my children need if I sit back and do nothing about those failures. I want to be a part of making our community better. It is important for me to see not only my kids succeed, but the kids that live down the street from me, and the ones that live across town. We have the foundation to make our campuses across Midland thrive. Our teachers are phenomenal. We just need someone that sits in that seat for District 1 that will ensure that our teachers get what is needed to be set up for success. We need someone there that holds themselves and the district accountable moving forward. The adults can't only be taking credit for the positive things happening in our district. They have to take responsibility for the failures, too. It's time we have a leader who is ready for the responsibility of listening to our community. District 1 deserves that. I am running to be the voice that represents the constituents of District 1. I want to be a part in making our academic performance rise above the minimum grade level of a C. I want to help create and maintain a safe and secure environment for the teachers and students at our secondary schools. I know that I am not the best public speaker. However, I am working on that skill. But something I do have is a big heart. I love kids, and I love people. My experience working at the Barbara Culver Detention Center with troubled youth made it easier for me to have a better outlook on those kids. I mentored those kids day in and day out. Kids need to know that no matter what troubles they encounter, they can overcome that and become any and everything they want to be as long as they set their minds to it. I have enjoyed hosting foreign exchange students and taking the time to really sit down with these students that come here with a language barrier and help them with their schoolwork. That experience has really opened my eyes to how important quality education is. I hope and I pray that I am the candidate that you want to represent you and District 1 for MISD. I want to see all our kids succeed. I hope you will vote for me, Michael Booker, for District 1. I am in the second spot on the ballot. Unique qualifications are reason for re-election. James E. Fuller, District 1 candidate. My closing argument is my opening argument. I am James E. Fuller, AA, BA, MA+, a 42-year resident of Midland. I am actively engaged in my community. As a public servant, I have spent 33 years working on the Midland ISD Board of Trustees. My qualifications to continue to serve as the elected representative of District 1 are significant. I am an educator of 52 years, 10 years in public education, Lubbock ISD, and 42 in higher education, Midland College. That my training and experience have informed my ability to serve in the arena of public school governance is without question. In addition, I continue to earn Board Member Continuing Education Credit, National and Texas Association of School Boards, in order to remain current on numerous governance trustee issues. Also, I am a graduate of Leadership TASB, with the earned certification of Master School Board Trustee. Transparency, commitment, candidness, integrity, honesty, and a sound work ethic are qualities I will continue to exercise as an experienced board member. I will continue to be in the community, working for the success and good of all students in the district, with a specific focus on students' academic performance. In addition, I will continue to advocate for all professional personnel and support personnel in the district. As a district, I realize, as an experienced board member, that we have a distance to go before all campuses are rated above average, B or better. I reiterate, I will continue to advocate and support the work being done in the area of System of Great Schools, the board's commitment to Lone Star governance, the reliance on academic initiatives that are data-driven, the secondary transformation, and the continuous upgrading of technology. Equity and equality should be the rule, not the exception, in the Midland Independent School District. They are primary factors that will contribute to improved academic performance, along with the consistent effort to eradicate systemic racism. Unlike my opponents, I have consistently discussed being qualified as a primary criteria for being an effective board member. They have not. Constituents of District 1, I solicit your vote. Re-elect James E. Fuller, Trustee, District 1, MISD. District 4. New chapter at MISD requires strong leadership. Katie Wallace Joyner, District 4 candidate. Education in Midland must improve. We need a fresh perspective on the board to bring new ideas and make changes to improve academic outcomes for students. A vote for me, Katie Wallace Joyner, is a vote for change, a vote for commitment, and a vote for strong leadership. It will be my mission to continually ask questions and urge my fellow board members to consider all the options, not just those presented to the board. It is time for action. It is time to begin a new chapter at MISD. As a third-generation Midlander and a MISD graduate and parent, I am ready to see our district live up to its potential. We need to unleash the creativity of our educators and embrace new ideas. The board can help facilitate this by hiring the right superintendent, being proactive, and fostering an environment of support for our campuses. As a board member, I want to start a new narrative of success and open-mindedness. We cannot continue to operate in the same manner just because it's the way things have always been done. We need to replicate our successes and learn from our mistakes. Accountability has been lost, and trust needs to be restored. Wholesale changes must occur at every level, starting with the board. As your District 4 representative, I will dedicate my time and energy to encouraging, empowering, and equipping the educators of MISD. Having served on many boards in our community, I will bring my experience and best practices to the operations of the MISD board. Communication is key in creating a new and improved MISD. My interpersonal skills and willingness to engage will be a crucial step in making the board's decision-making processes clear. Parents and staff need a new superintendent that will provide important information in a professional and effective way. My degree from the College of Communications at UT Austin enables me to vet a top-notch superintendent with a focus on excellent communication. Transparency goes hand in hand with communication. There cannot be one without the other. When policy and decisions are made, I will work to ensure that all the facts are considered and are readily available to the public. Transparency within the district and at central office will improve with the right leadership in place. As a former project manager, it was imperative that my clients knew exactly how their projects were being executed, who was on the team, and that expectations were being met. The same is true in creating transparency within MISD. Currently, there are not any women serving on the Board of Trustees. Electing a female leader will lend a fresh new perspective to the conversation. Each decision that the board makes will have a direct impact on my family. But I am not running just for my children. I am running to represent all of District 4 and all MISD students. It would be my privilege and honor to be the voice of mothers all across our city. Our community is currently working to survive a global pandemic and a terrible economic crisis. It's in these tough times that Midlanders can and should pull together. MISD is currently in a state of transition, and we have the opportunity to unify under the common goal of excellent education for every child, regardless of zip code. This campaign has been some of the most exciting, exhausting, and truly amazing months of my life. I have had the privilege of meeting so many new people and listening to the District 4 voters. There have been many nights of knocking doors with just my little family and a wagon of yard signs working to earn your trust and your vote. It was on those evenings that I was most struck by how incredible our community really is and why I decided to run. I know the path won't be easy, but I want to do the hard work to change things for the better. It takes true grit to live out here in the oil patch, but we are, at our core, go-getters. That mentality and spirit is what I was raised on, what I have implemented in my professional life, and what I will bring to the board. Thank you to all who have supported me along the way and who have already voted for me. For those of you going to the ballot box during the runoff, please vote for me, Katie Wallace Joyner, MISD District 4. Time to return trust, hope to the system. Stevie Vargas, District 4 candidate. My name is Steve Vargas, and I am running for the MISD District 4 trustee seat. I have four children, all of which have attended MISD schools since their schooling began. Through the years, I have witnessed the decline and regression of our academics with no end in sight. I have witnessed the mistreatment, retaliation, and misrepresentation of our citizens, teachers, and faculty. My children, along with the misrepresented teachers, citizens, and children across Midland, are my motivation to becoming a Midland ISD trustee and becoming the voice for so many who have lost trust and hope in our current system. I have sat around for at least 8 years and witnessed the injustice as our children's futures become uncertain. MISD continues its rapid academic decline and underperformance, with no resolve or accountability for those responsible with aiding in its downfall and normalization of mediocrity and underperformance. I have talked and listened to teachers and parents who have expressed the same concerns with major issues facing our schools. Students, teachers, faculty, and parents have all lost trust and confidence in our current school board and central office administration for their role in this decline and the standards they have set. Due to the continued lack of accountability, transparency, and leadership through MISD, I decided to step up and help become part of the solution and deal with these key issues head-on. I hope to bridge the divide between the hard-working citizens of Midland and the current board and to restore their trust and confidence in MISD so that we can work together and remediate the broken system we currently have. It's about time we provide our children with the greatest opportunity to succeed. Now is the time to seize the opportunity and make the right decision by electing someone who will ensure our children are provided the greatest opportunity to succeed. It's time we get MISD pointed in the right direction. The right direction that ultimately leads to improved academics for our children across the board. The right direction that ensures our teachers are given the proper tools and resources to provide the best opportunity for the success of our children. It's time that we listen to those on the front line, those that have addressed the issues and have already begun to implement ways to improve them. It's time to give our teachers back their voice and let them know that we hear them and that we are listening and support them. Academics should be the main concern of the current school board and new incoming board members. But it raises the question of why our academics are in such a state of decline and underperformance, and what countermeasures do we need to implement to turn it around. I think we have to begin with the leadership at the top by setting the example and holding people accountable for their participation in such a rapid decline. Through leadership and accountability, we can ensure that we are retaining quality staff across the board and cutting those who are not willing to be part of the solution, improving our current state. We will then be able to provide our children with the proper teachers, resources, and staff that will provide them with the greatest opportunity to succeed and prepare them for their futures. I believe this is a key way to improve academics. I have always felt a calling to serve. Even as a child growing up, I always had that feeling calling out to me. Shortly after high school, that feeling called me to serve my country as a Marine. Through my time in the Marines, I learned what true leadership was. I learned what key traits were required for a leader to be successful: accountability, integrity, intestinal fortitude, tact, judgment, decisiveness, initiative, unselfishness, moral courage, loyalty, and most importantly, the ability to admit when you are wrong. Shortly after leaving the Marines, I still had that feeling to serve. That feeling called me over to becoming a state trooper. Through my time as a peace officer, I have learned what it truly means to be a humbled servant of the community. As the runoff is nearing, remember what we have to gain and what is at stake. We have the opportunity to make a huge difference and give our citizens back their voice. Let's rise up together and remind MISD that we citizens hold the power. A vote for Steve Vargas for District 4 will ensure that you are all heard and represented. Real leadership is leaders recognizing that they serve the people that they lead. Pete Hoekstra. Midland ISD runoffs, Districts 1 and 4. Early voting days, Monday through Friday, December 7 through 11. Early voting location, Elections Office, County Annex Building, 2110 North A Street. Election day, December 15. Early voting times, Monday through Friday and December 7 through 9, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. December 9 through 10, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Where is MISD District 1? District 1 in East Midland is bordered by Loop 250 to the north and includes areas around the following campuses: Milam Elementary, Lee Freshman High School, Pease Communications and Technology, Coleman High School, General Tommy Franks Elementary, the former Crockett Elementary, Washington STEM Academy, and Carver Center. Where is MISD District 4? District 4 starts in Central Midland near Bowie Fine Arts Academy and works its way across the city, picking up neighborhoods across Sam Houston Collegiate Preparatory Academy, Midland Alternative Program, Lamar Elementary, Long Elementary, Burnett Elementary, and then works its way into Southwest Midland and into the county.
Attitude toward fighting bladder cancer. To your good health for Thursday. Dr. Roach writes, a recent column from a writer, LLB, with an inability to urinate despite a large amount of urine in the bladder, led me to suggest additional testing to find the underlying cause. He wrote back and unfortunately was found to have bladder cancer. He has gotten some radiation treatment and may get chemo as well. He said, if I do go down, I will go down fighting. I admire his attitude and wish him the best in fighting bladder cancer. Dr. Roach regrets that he is unable to answer individual letters, but will incorporate them in the column whenever possible. Readers may email questions to yourgoodhealth@med.cornell.edu or send mail to 628 Virginia Drive, Orlando, Florida 32803.
This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, December 3rd, 2020, etc. Friends are short on sympathy after possible COVID exposure. Dear Abby, my husband came down with COVID and has been having a hard time getting over it. When he first started showing the symptoms, I took him to a drive-thru medical clinic and got him tested for COVID. The results were negative, So a couple of days later, I carpooled with a friend to another friend's house, where seven other friends had gathered. Several days later, when my husband still wasn't improving, I took him to an ER where they did another COVID test. This time it came out positive. I thought I owed it to whomever I was around at the get-together to tell them about my husband. At this get-together, we all wore masks. We took them off only to eat and then put them back on. It has been more than 14 days since my husband got sick, and although he is not yet over the virus, I haven't come down with it. I thought my friends would be supportive of me and what my husband is going through. However, I learned from one of these friends of more than 20 years that they formed a private Facebook group to discuss how each one has been doing on a daily basis, and I was not invited to participate. I feel betrayed by these paranoid friends. At this point, I don't think I can ever look at any of them the same way. I have been contemplating ending my friendship with all of them. What do you think? Kicked when down in Oklahoma. They're kicked. I think you should ask the friend who told you about the private Facebook group whether any of the women got sick after that get-together. If the answer is yes, make an appointment and have yourself COVID tested twice if necessary to ensure that you are not a symptomless carrier. If it turns out that you are positive, tell your friends. If you test negative, your first priority should be to help your husband get well and protect yourself from getting the virus. As to whether you should end your relationship with these distance friends from the way they are behaving, it appears they may have ended their relationship with you, and for that, you have my sympathy. Dear Abby, I recently had my hair dyed by my brother-in-law, who is a great hairstylist. I have seen his work on other clients, and he knows what he's doing. I have received a lot of compliments on my new do. Problem is, I didn't get what I asked for. I was a coward at the time and didn't speak up. Now my roots are starting to show, and I'll be needing a touch-up soon. How do I go about going to another salon for what I want without hurting his feelings or causing hard feelings with my sister-in-law? Coward in Kansas. Dear Coward in Kansas, make the appointment and have your hair done the way you prefer. If your sister or brother-in-law asks about it, say, you know, he is terrific and how busy he is and didn't want to impose further. If he's as good as you say he is, he will notice that the color is different from what he used on you. You're not a coward for wanting to spare your BIL's feelings. You do a disservice to him, however, as a professional, for not being truthful about your opinion of his work on you. If he mentions it, explain that this is a color you are more comfortable with. Your head, your choice. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Sagittarius and a moon in Cancer. Happy birthday for Thursday, December 3, 2020. Visionary, innovative, and craftsmanlike, you succeed this year by sheer virtue of your perfectionism. Delegate some responsibility to others, and you'll do even better. If single, you seem to prefer to remain so, and, in fact, could be rather reclusive this year. Maintain more contact with others, and you'll find your soulmate. If attached, you're in a private, happy world with your partner. Cancer loves time just with you. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 5 stars. Today will motivate you to make positive changes in your home life and living arrangements. Your residence can be redecorated or repaired, making it more comfortable in anticipation of the winter holiday season. Tonight, family ties feel stronger, offering greater happiness and support. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. You'll be able to solve difficulties through discussion and multitask with ease. Travel prospects are, finally, good. A bond with a neighbor or sibling strengthens. Some very enjoyable invitations come your way. Tonight, your happy thoughts act as a magnet to draw support from others. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. Today makes you aware of the consequences of past monetary decisions. Reject futile regrets and resolve to learn the lessons of the past instead. Patience is a must in seeking payment for work or for extra funds. Tonight, demand your due respect. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. A friend will help you with a career opportunity. You can meet intriguing new people through your work. Invest in new fashions or artwork to beautify yourself and your surroundings. A cherished relationship is particularly blessed today. Tonight, dance like no one's watching. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Spend time in quiet reflection today. You find peace while helping those less fortunate. Connect with nature to release frustration or impatience. Appreciate the elements of surprise that are at work in your life now. Tonight, psychic awareness and emotional expression are heightened. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. Friends are a special blessing today. Membership in an organization or social group can be a catalyst for happiness and accomplishment. You'll be warmly welcomed by new acquaintances. They can put you in touch with old companions. Tonight, good or bad, they haven't changed. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. Career responsibilities need your attention. Be patient. There are hurdles to overcome. Work on balancing your professional ambitions with the release of stress. A sober mood prevails at your workplace, and professional duties grow more fulfilling. Tonight, a helpful coworker opens an important door. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 4 stars. Today favors lyrical and poetic communication. Use words creatively. This is a terrific time to design business cards, address labels, and personal stationery. You feel fulfilled in a new way. Tonight, you're rewarded with new insight concerning the direction of your life. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 2 stars. Today finds you dwelling on old regrets or a lost love. Realize that memories are tricky. A situation might not have been exactly as you remember it. Learn from the past, appreciate it, and then release to make way for the new. Tonight, let go. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Today favors romance in your life. You might be the object of a rather persistent courtship. Bask in the admiration. Another relationship is very promising. Your charisma level will be very high. Tonight, a dream that arrives by synchronicity initiates healing. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. This is a day to make much-needed changes. You can overcome old health conditions. Be aware of how healthy your working conditions are. Take regular breaks during the day and seek to release job-related stress. Tonight, a long, soothing, herbal soak in the bath. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. A soulmate connection or psychic bond develops with one you admire. Children are a source of joy as well. Listen carefully to what a dear one says, for conversations are meaningful today. Make decisions about an important liaison. Tonight, a very creative cycle commences. Born today, writer Joseph Conrad, 1857, director Jean-Luc Godard, 1930, actress Julianne Moore, 1960.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.